The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good morning. Welcome to Magnet Investing with Jordan Kimmel, the show that will take you through the ever-changing world of investing for a profit. Now, here's the host of Magnet Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Magnet Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And I can tell you, folks, this is actually one of my favorite hours of the week. It's a chance, really, for me to prepare what I'm thinking myself. And you know, they always say if you're going to teach something, it really helps crystallize your thoughts. And this hour where I bring on not only my points of view, but some of the leading experts and different strategies, and there's 100 or more different ways to trade the markets. There's 100 different markets to trade, by the way. So there's all kinds of things. I've always said in my first book, Magnet Investing, the first key is to really understand who you are and create a strategy that works for you, because what works for me may not work for you. What works for you may not work for me. It all depends on a combination of how much volatility that you can handle without getting sick to your stomach, how much patience you can show, how much time you're willing to spend, and again, most importantly, the strategy that works for you can keep someone else up at night. The strategy is got to be very, very coherent for you. So one of the things we're going to do a little bit later in the show, I'm going to bring on the author of a new book that came out, The Greatest Trades of All Time. And I love these kind of books. It's Vincent Venziani. And he's talking about all the way back from the crash of 29 to current days, some of the individual great trades that have been made by the most famous investors. And all I can tell you is I'm looking forward to the dialogue and the discussion, because it's not the average trade that I'm looking for. And, you know, I actually thought back on last week's show is one of the, you know, really some very great things were said. And I want to kind of remind you that since 1998, this thing that I've been talking about called Magnet Stock Selection Process is currently being shown by AAII, the American Association of Individual Investors, runs 65 or so different screens. Most of them by some of the famous investors that are out there right now. It's the Motley Fool, it's Buffettology, it's William O'Neill, it's Joel Greenblatt, the investors out there basically managing billions and billions of dollars. And I'm very, very pleased, I'm very honored, I'm very humbled that the Magnet Stock Selection is showing as the number two screen overall since 1998, and just a smidge, frankly, behind number one. And strategy number one, I don't actually believe is run by anybody. I think it's just a, it's an idea out there. But so we're very pleased with what we're seeing. And then more importantly, I think the book that I recently came out with, The Magnet Method of Investing, goes through a very important discussion on the fallacies, the inadequacies, and the failed logic, frankly, behind some of the diversification strategies we hear about these days. And then we go through the process. We list, of course, the 40 stocks that we think would be the most timely at that point. And as I'm pleased to share and kind of what I expect a little bit. The portfolio is running 45% ahead of the S&P since the book came out. The top 10 picks are actually going four times the market. That's four times the market, annualizing out at about 65%. But going back again to AAII, the 1998 through today is about 27%, almost the exact number the book shows when it came out in 1998. And folks, that was during the lost decade where the market basically was flat to negative. So the whole thing I really want to share here, it's such an emotional time here. I had a tremendous author over at my office yesterday, a guy that I've had on before. I'll have him on again. Neil Howe has written a book called The Fourth Turning. And if you believe what he says, you know, we are actually in for rough times for years in this country. And his point of view is that's number one, not necessarily a bad thing. He talked about the extended families living together and the kids not being able to move out and get their own apartment. And he says, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with having the kids around? What about grandma and grandpa moving in to all save some money and live together? That's what was done in the 30s. There was a lot of family created back then, a lot of bonding and you know, a little bit different than the kind of me first of the go-go 80s. So, you know, who knows? But the point is, what he reminded me is he said, we just had a lost decade, and Magnet was able to find the winning companies at that time. And so the point is, if I was to say to you that American kids these days, the problem with America is all the kids are fat and stupid and nobody does their homework and they're lazy playing video games. Well, you might swallow that, you might believe that, you might agree with that, but the fact is that represents a portion of the kids in America today. There are kids even worse off than that, but again, there are those kids that are not only doing their homework, but they're doing extracurricular projects. There are kids that are 3 years ahead of their peers in reading and in intelligence and in work ethic and everything else. And those are the kids, frankly, that are going to make a difference. And when it comes down to the stock market, if you will, the analogy is, I reread this article from Forbes magazine, and I have a copy of it if you'd like to see it. They call me in there Kimmel the Unterrible, and they basically say that according to Magnet, almost every stock is bad. And I actually agree with that. Stocks are bad. They're risky. They're dangerous. They tend to do well and then not do well. And unless you actually have a process, an unemotional mathematical sifter, to go through and say, which companies should I invest in now? And that might mean you change your mind. The companies of 2012 are probably not those of 2011 and certainly not of 1999 and certainly not of 1989. So the point is, like athletes, like movie stars, like entertainment, the names change and the game remains the same. The question is, do you have a method for finding the new winners? Do you have a methodology for managing a portfolio once the computer gives you a set of recommendations? How do you do all this? Well, it's been 25 years of my life. It's what I love to do. It's what challenges me intellectually. And I will share, this has been a very, very tough year overall for emotions. It's been another great year for Magnet, and it's been a great year for those people that can very simply put their ego aside and actually admit they don't know who's going to win the election. They don't know what interest rates are going to be in 3 years from now. They don't know who's going to win the Super Bowl. They don't know a lot of things, and frankly, that might be scary to some people. It's actually empowering to me. It's very important to know that I don't walk on water, that I don't know the future, that any stock that the model may recommend may actually go down. And sometimes you end up believing your own model so thoroughly, so completely, so blindly, that you close your mind and eyes to everything else. And if a stock that's recommended goes down, you buy more, and you buy more, and you buy more, and the next thing you know, you lost all your money. So the fact is, despite Magnet being the number one ranked screen by AAII, and you can go to their website, folks, if you don't subscribe there, I think you should. I think it's only $29 a year, and it's incredibly comprehensive, and I don't make a commission to sell it. But the point is, AAII.com is the site. They show Magnet as number one from 09 going forward with kind of an ungodly, ridiculous number. But 1998 going forward as annualizing out over 27% per year. If you could just turn your mind off to the politicians, turn your mind off to this notion that the sky's falling down, turn your mind off basically to everything other than an open-minded question, is there any company in any industry that's actually cash flowing faster than their peers, raising their margin faster than their peers, and still selling at a valuation and price level and market cap that has a lot of room for growth? That's all I ask, and I don't know the future, and that actually makes me open-minded, right? So I don't know what's going to happen, but I have people telling me all the time, well, this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and this is going to happen, and the percentage of those things that are accurate would drive you straight to the poorhouse. So all I ask you is to open your ears, to open your mind to the fact that innovation, new industries, new technology, new names, and new leaders are always what makes you money in the market. And what doesn't make you money in the market is complaining about how all of a sudden this particular company has slowed down in their growth and their revenue, but hey, you know, maybe we'll hang on, maybe they'll come back, and maybe this and that. But I don't believe in that. I believe in a physical checkup for every company I have, only willing to own the healthiest, strongest half a dozen, two dozen, three dozen companies at the most, depending on how many millions of dollars we're investing for who. And so the point is, go over to Amazon and go get yourself a copy if you haven't. Magnet Investing, the Magnet Method of Investing. The formulas are actually in the book that AAII is sharing with you. And when I'm reminded that Magnet ranks up this high right now, it's a combination of exhilarating and humbling, but the fact is I don't know the future. I never will know the future, and I'll just continue to read the tea leaves every day with an open mind. What we're going to do now is we're going to take a quick break here. What I always love to do is study the best of the best. How did they do it? What were they thinking? We're going to hear about the greatest trades of all times. We'll be right back following this quick break.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety. Are you tired of the government squandering your tax dollars on bailouts and overpaid bureaucrats? On Free Markets with Dr. Mike Beitler, Mike Beitler and his guests explain why big government regulations are the problem and innovative businesses and free markets are the solution. Listen to Free Markets with Dr. Mike Beitler, Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guests, dial toll-free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magna Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back to Magna Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And so now let's say, okay, you get it. You're getting a 0% return in the bank. Fixed income was never a good place in the beginning, and you have some extra money and you decide you want to begin investing in the stock market. Where the heck do you start? I mean, and I reminded you that how hard it is in every show, that it's not easy, that it's very demanding. Well, what I basically did is I started reading every book I could get my hands on about the market, and where I basically started after William O'Neill's book, after The Intelligent Investor, after a handful, and you start reading through the bibliographies, well, what came up with a series of books at that time that I absolutely loved by Jack Swager, and Jack was talking about, at that time, The Simple Greatest Investment. I actually got to go to my book, Magnet Investing, and find the chapter on it. But I basically started reading every book on the leading investors of their era. Who did it? How did they do it? What was in common with them? And basically, a lot of that has to do with my recent book called Magnet Method of Investing. And so what we'll do here is we're going to bring on Vincent Venenziani. Am I getting that right, Vincent?
You got it right, Jordan.
Tell me, did anybody, by the way, ever ask you how to spell your name?
All the time.
Alrighty, but congratulations, Vince, on your new book. It's a Wiley book, The Greatest Trades of All Time, Top Traders Making Big Profits from the Crash of 29 right to today. And I love this style of book by studying the masters and studying the best trade and best traders. So before we get into your book, and obviously I want to get into the specifics of it as quickly as we can, but Vince, tell people a little bit more about yourself, why you took this approach of studying the greatest traders.
Well, you know, Jordan, I thank you very much for the compliments, by the way. But originally, I had done an article for Business Insider called The Greatest Trades of All Time. And basically, I did a very subjective look at different traders that I found really interesting and had obviously made considerable profits. Wiley approached me about turning it into a book, and I was more than happy to do so. I think I really just kind of spent some time searching around and asking around as to what people thought, some of the greatest trades of all time were. And that's essentially how it came into play.
Right. And so let's get into this because, you know, not only are you talking about the greatest investors, but actually the specific trades they took, what went in behind it. And so let me kind of start by saying this, you know, Vince, is that, you know, we hear about the right thing to do is to diversify, to buy and hold, all kinds of different things like that. I know that none of those strategies were followed on the greatest trades. Talk to us, if you can, about maybe the things that were a couple specifics and then maybe what they had in common with each other. And just jump right into the book.
Sure. So I think the one thing that the one trait that goes throughout the entire book is it's all about timing. As I said this a bunch of times, which is kind of funny, but it really comes down to getting the timing right. For instance, Paul Tudor Jones, he really timed you know, the crash of 87, by doing technical analysis. Kyle Bass and John Paulson, got the timing right in terms of betting against the housing market. If they had done it too close to, the end of the, credit crisis, they wouldn't have profited so immensely. If they had done it too soon, it could have been too costly for them or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And same goes for Jim Chanos. You know, he timed Enron just perfectly after doing plenty of due diligence. I think each trade in the book is definitely unique, but the one common theme I'd have to say has to be the fact that everybody got the timing right.
Well, but let's talk about that for a moment because, you know, I think what had to be a big play in here too is got to be conviction, has got to be these trades didn't go in a straight direction for them. People talk about getting stopped out of trades and people
right.
talk about, so, you know, it couldn't have been a straight direction. I mean, there had to be a tremendous amount of conviction, that also went into the trade.
Yeah, obviously, the one thing that these guys all did is put their money where their mouth was and, stood behind their trade. It's interesting. You hear about, you know, momentum trading, you hear about buy and hold, you hear about high frequency trading, all kinds of different methods out there. I think replicating these kinds of trades, you can't just read the book and go out there and try and hope for the best. That's just not going to work. I think it's a great foundation to kind of get inspired and to take a look at the current environment and say, all right, I learn from these guys and make my own greatest trade. And I know it sounds a bit cheesy and cliche, but I mean, if you think about it, there's probably some guys out there, who aren't big institutional traders who took a look at Europe and what was going on over there a few months ago or maybe even a few years ago and said, you know, this doesn't add up. I don't see how this is sustainable. And I'm sure a couple people placed their bets and they're doing very well right now.
Right. Well, let's talk about this too. I think that, you know, the issue of whether or not the game has changed, whether or not the whole business has changed. Obviously, there's different volume, there's more access to information. But one of the things that you did in your book is you're writing about trades that are taking place as recently as current day, but you're also talking about trades from 80 years ago. And so I think, you know, I want you to kind of bring out, you know, what has changed or what has frankly remained the same?
Well, obviously, a lot has changed over the past, you know, 80, 100 years or so. I think the oldest guy in the book has to be Jesse Livermore, who's also one of the more famous names out there for any broker or trader, anyone involved in trading. Obviously, the markets were very different back then. Spreads were wider. There was no, you know, advent of electronic trading going on or anything like that. Multiple exchanges existed back then in terms of commodities, equities, etc. And then these days, you know, we live in a really electronic marketplace. Anybody who wants to kind of strike out on their own and hit the floor really probably isn't going to do that. They're most likely going to fire up a Thinkorswim or an E-Trade account, throw a couple thousand bucks in there, maybe 10,000, 20,000, and kind of go at it.
But I guess what I'm asking you, in your opinion, can a guy like Jesse Livermore show up right in today's environment and do as well as he did?
I don't think so, to be quite honest. I think, like I said, things were a lot different back then. And the one thing that's also interesting about Jesse Livermore is that while he had a lot of really good trades when he stuck to his convictions, but when he broke them, he lost a ton of money, and unfortunately, he ended up killing himself. So, I think it goes to show that you should probably, if you come up with a great idea, and it's adaptable to the markets that we live in today, you should probably stick with it. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But if it does work out, you probably shouldn't deviate very far from it.
Right. I think that's, it's a pretty interesting one. I'm trying to time out where we can go on this discussion, Vince. Tell me, we have a few minutes before break. Do you have time to join us for a second segment? I could kind of plan out what we're going to do.
Sure thing.
Okay, so then we'll stick with it. So in a couple minutes we have before the segment, I don't know if you have a particular favorite trade that you describe, you know, one in particular. Do you want to get into the specifics of any given one right here?
You know, I think given the amount of time and the fact that I'd like people to also purchase the book, I don't want to get too into a particular trade. But personally, my favorite would probably be, I'd say Kyle Bass. He's one of the few people in the book who I actually got to sit down with and talk with at length about what they did. And I think it's interesting how he thinks and how he bet against the housing crisis, because he knew everything just didn't add up before everyone else did. We're talking back in 05 and 06. He could take a look at a company like Countrywide and realize, wait a minute, how are they giving out, you know, mortgages to people with no income or no job and no assets? You know, why are they giving so many out? What's going on with Fannie and Freddie? And adding that all up and saying, well, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense. And then, being able to go out there and, you know, within being a relatively new player in the field, raising some capital and, buying the right credit derivatives they wanted to buy and basically profiting immensely from it. So I think that's really interesting what Kyle did, and he's kind of still continuing that to this day. And I know he's kind of doing something similar with Europe right now and has been for quite a while. So I'm sure, you know, considering all that's going on in Europe right now, Kyle Bass is probably doing very well.
Right. And so the volatility can shoot people up if they get it wrong too. But, you know, Vincent, when I'm hearing about that one trade with Bass and it was kind of left unsaid, but we got to throw it in. At the moment, there was a housing boom going on. Everyone was so interested in accumulating and buying and accumulating, and the housing stocks are doing well. One of the things that made him so successful is not only did he get it right, but he was very contrary to the crowd before the turn came. And I think that swimming with the crowd, I don't think there's any of these great trades that you mentioned where the crowd also participated like the individual did.
Right. No, you make an excellent point. In the book and with the people I mentioned, they all kind of went against the grain and kind of struck out on their own and didn't follow the trend and the pattern. That being said, I think there are times where it does help to go with the momentum of the general overall consensus in the market. Sometimes you just can't fight the market, and you know, if the market's going up and everybody wants it to go up, well then, you know, ride it while you can, but make sure you have an exit plan.
Right. Well, you know, we're going to talk more about that after the break. Before we go, though, I know the book's for sale in all the bookstores and the websites. Is there another website, Vince, to show people as well?
Yeah, you can check out www.greatest-trades.com. And I've got some interviews on there, some thoughts on what's going on in the market, and also some links on there. So check it out if you can.
All right, terrific. So why don't we explore the book a little further? We'll take a quick break. We'll let the sponsors come in, and we'll talk some more of the greatest trades of all time. We'll be right back following the break.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety. These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here. To perform at your maximum potential, you need to have all aspects of your life working properly. On Mind, Brain, and Body, Dr. Michael John Kell will bring you honest, open discussions concerning your physical, mental, and financial health. If you're ready to find purpose and meaning in your life, tune in to Mind, Brain, and Body every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific. Mind, Brain, and Body on Voice America Health and Wellness. Radio dedicated to your health, wealth, wisdom, and purpose.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guest, dial toll-free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magna Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back to Magna Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And we are now talking about the greatest trades of all time. The author is Vincent Veneziani. He says it better than I do, but it's a beautiful book. I've been reading through it. And Vince, let me kind of share with you that, you know, what I always try to share with investors is not only like this one trade and how did this one trade go, but what was the mentality behind it? What was the, maybe emotion or lack of emotion? And so we're always trying to, you know, there's so many different trades in different markets. What I'm trying to get at, you know, is there something in common you see to all these guys, or do you find them actually, you know, very, very different than each other?
You know, in some ways, they're all very common in the sense that they all really knew their stuff and they kept it cool. Obviously, I wasn't sitting there looking over their shoulder at their Quotrons or computer screens as they made the trades or anything like that. But, you know, it seems and it appears that the people that I did speak with, the people that I did research, they all really were able to, you know, stick to their convictions and keep it cool and stay with the trade and see it through all the way through. But that being said, they're all really different people in terms of their personality, the way they think, and the actual trades they did. I think what's interesting is that Paul Tudor Jones kind of grew up learning cotton trading and commodities trading, and then, you know, I think the trade he's most famous for is based on, you know, the S&P 500 and equities. So it just goes to show you that, you know, some of these guys are really good at one thing, and some of these guys can trade all over the place, just like Livermore did, you know, trade commodities, all kinds of different commodities, equities, bonds, whatever is available to trade.
Right, and by the way, I have a nice poster of Jesse Livermore in my office hanging, looking right at me while we're doing the show here, and he's certainly a guy that I have tried to read everything about, everyone who's just blown away the market and, you know, really what it is that made them different, what is it that made them, you know, a little bit special. And I think that, I know you've talked, you know, in the book, you mentioned market wizards and that, you know, kind of thought pattern and approach. But what I love what you're doing is you're bringing in, every kind, short sellers, currency guys, stock guys, activists. And again, I think that you mentioned something earlier about staying kind of with a trend, and clearly a lot of people mistake momentum as a bad thing and a dangerous thing. Momentum actually works, like you say, if you know when and kind of how to get out. I think that, one thing I want to mention here is that this book is what's coming to mind here, Vince, is this thing called survivor bias. And a lot of guys have taken this approach, but there's no book written about them. And I kind of want to, you know, so I do believe in concentration and conviction and letting the trade run. Maybe we want to remind everybody that the guys who put all their money in one thing and got it wrong, well, there's no book about them.
Right, exactly. Now, that'll be the sequel, The Worst Trades of All Time, and I'm sure I'll have lots of content.
Probably have a hard time finding people to interview.
Exactly. That won't be tough to drum up. But it's interesting what you mentioned about Jack Schwager and Market Wizards. That's just a fantastic book from back in the day, and definitely recommend if none of your listeners have had a chance to read it, that they go and pick it up. Obviously, along with my books, but you know, I like the style of that book and how it's just really straight shooting and everything. And originally, I think that's kind of the direction I wanted to go with the book, but I think it was also interesting to be able to go back later and kind of go over the trade and how you can replicate it in today's market, no matter when, you know, no matter which particular chapter you're reading or who you're reading about. You know, if you want to go short housing, here's an ETF that you can do it. If you want to go long crude oil, you know, here's how you can trade the futures on it, or here's an ETF for it. So I think it feels kind of good to be able to give the readers some understanding and some options, so they can kind of replicate a trade or maybe if they want to, you know, have a similar idea come to fruition, that they're able to do it.
Right. And, so let me ask you this, because I mean, I read through it, and is there anything I'm kind of not asking you that's kind of high up on your mind you want to kind of get out?
Sure. What do you mean by that, Jordan?
Well, what I'm saying is I have a lot of questions based on what I'm all about, what I'm interested in, but maybe there's something that you kind of found in your research, a question I'm kind of not asking you that you say, you know, what one of the key points of the book, and I'm not kind of getting to the point there for you. Maybe you want to help me.
Right, right. No, I totally understand what you're saying. You know, I think the most fun part about writing the book was being able to go and really research into these guys. And even more interesting is that I've written about some of these guys, and you know, the book was written over the course of a year from 2010 into 2011. And it's interesting. Like, you look at a guy like Paulson, who made, you know, probably the greatest trade of all time and profited immensely. I think he made $5 billion for himself last year, which is a ridiculous amount of money. I know he's managing over $30 billion. But if you look at the performance of nearly every fund that he operates, they're down big. I mean, his Paulson Advantage Plus fund is down over 45% for the year. I think the only fund that he has that's still up is gold, and even that's underperforming gold, generally speaking. So it's really interesting to look at a guy who had the greatest trade of all time, made a ton of money, and everybody kind of piles in and goes, well, you know, I want to be with that guy. And then the next year is total flop. So that was really interesting to kind of watch unfold.
Talk about that for a minute. I'm glad you brought that up, because it's an interesting point. And then the point that I get to there, Vince, is that it's process, not outcome. And so the question is that even as we know, the expression, a broken clock is right twice a day. Sometimes people could make an outrageously fantastic single trade, be known for that, and not be able to replicate that. And I'm not saying that's the case in Paulson's case, because I think that the $5 billion trade came on gold, where the first, you know, big trade came on you know, short the housing market. But I'm trying to bring out this point, is that just because someone had one great successful trade, it doesn't mean that their next trades and their futures is bright.
Exactly. It goes back to the first, I think one of the first things I said, you know, after I dialed in, which is, you know, it all focuses on timing. These guys had good timing, and some guys are going to get the timing right a lot of the time, and then there's people like Paulson who got it right one year, and then the next year totally flopped. So.
Right, and you know what, I remember reading this book, and this is really, you find it funny, because you've been on CNBC, I've done a lot of CNBC, they say if a guy made $20 or $50 million, but did it by playing Russian roulette, they'd actually literally make a hero on him on CNBC for being successful, even though the process wasn't all that smart. And so this is where I'm kind of getting at the difference between the outcome and the process and the trade and the trader. And I kind of want you to talk about that.
Yeah, there's definitely a disconnect there. You know, like you, that's a great example, the Russian roulette. Maybe there's a guy who did something that could be perceived as distasteful or, hurting, a company or the general public or something along those lines. But at the end of the day, it's just, you know, speculation and somebody was correct. And, like you said, you know, they'll go up on CNBC and, CNBC can get a story out of it, you know, they'll roll with it, but, you know, that's what they do. They're an entertainment network, and, you know, I'm sure some people kind of want to get angry at a few of these guys. You know, one could argue that, you know, a big time oil trader like Andrew Hall, who's in the book, or John Arnold, who's in the book, you know, that these guys are driving up the price at the pump and things like that. But, you know, you kind of have to take a step back and look at the bigger picture of things and realize that, you know, it's not just some guy behind a Bloomberg terminal and a ton of capital that's affecting, you know, the price of the pump. There's so many other things going on. So it doesn't really make much sense to,
want
to single someone out and put the blame on them.
So let me give you the challenge, or the challenge to the listeners out there, is to pick up Vince's book, The Greatest Trades of All Time, but read it in a way that's asking the question, can you figure out the process? Is there something that can translate into a trade for you? Not only the outcome of the trade of making a lot of money, but something that you understand, the philosophy, the technique, and ask the very important question, is this something that makes sense to you? Is this something that you can pull off yourself? And the only way, really, I believe, Vince, to become a great investor is to read what everyone else has done and then actually put your hand in it, put some trades on, and feel the emotion and feel if it's for you. Vince, what we have here in this segment is just a couple minutes left. I'll give you a chance again. Your personal contact information, your website, and maybe if you have a big closing thought, you want to kind of share them why they should go out and buy your book.
Sure, and I couldn't agree more with what you just said, Jordan. But if anybody wants to get more information or keep up on, you know, what's going on and new ideas and my thoughts on the market, www.greatest-trades.com. You can get links to buy the book there. Amazon's got it for the cheapest price right now, I think. And also you'll get my thoughts on things that are going on. I think, the one thing I'd probably want to leave people to think about is what you said, is if you want to become a good trader, if you want to become a good investor and you want to have fun with it or you want to be serious about it, you got to go out there and you got to get your hands wet. You got to put some money in the market, whether you're going to lose it, and you should be willing to lose that money. Don't go and rip out your entire 401k or your life savings or anything like that and try to bet it in the market, try to make a quick buck. You know, save up, you know, a grub stake, if you will, and go and trade that and be ready to lose the whole thing and not be too upset about it.
Right. Now, I think that's great advice to finish with, Vince, because none of the traders that you're mentioning here made their great as the first trade. There's a lot of learning. They call it the tuition of the market. But if you really want to get serious, you have to pay some tuition. I remind everybody, nobody ever won their first chess game. If you want to be a chess master, you got to lose some games along the way. But listen, I think Wiley and you did just a great job on the book. It's nice looking. It's very readable.
Thank you.
There's a lot of meat in there. Vince, congratulations on your book.
Thanks so much, Jordan. Thanks again for having me. It's been great.
All right. Really our pleasure. What we're trying to do here is educate people to find out how they could become a better trader, investor. This is the kind of book that I love. And some great research on that. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to thank Vince for his time, and we're going to be right back to wrap stuff up right after this quick break.
Welcome Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. Drawing on resources from wellness communities throughout America and abroad, the show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Wellness Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guest, dial toll-free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magna Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back, everybody, to Magna Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And that conversation with Vince is the kind of conversation I love to have on the show. The whole point here is that it is really hard to separate yourself from the field in the investment business. It's very difficult, but that doesn't mean that you can't. It doesn't mean that I can't. It simply means that I don't want you to underestimate the difficulty of it and underestimate the amount of effort and time. So if you want to get good at anything, you know, it's that 10,000 hour thing where if you spend 10,000 hours really focused on a serious individual thought issue, we're actually going to learn a lot about that. It takes a lot of time. It doesn't happen instantly. And then when it comes to actually putting your money on the line, it's a lot different than paper trading. And so my point about the greatest trades of all time and how I think you need to invest is you need to highlight and isolate that absolute outlier of a company out there, a company that for now, and this doesn't mean forever, but it's growing faster, their revenues, their margins, their cash flows. And I built a model that can identify these companies, but that doesn't mean it's easy to do even then. Here's the point. What happens when your stock, say, goes from 10 to 15? It's hard not to sell then. But the only way you could actually triple or quadruple your money in individual stock, the first thing that has to happen, it has to go up 30%. And then it has to go up 50, and it has to cross to 100 and 200. And I'm telling you, one of the hardest parts of investing is actually holding on to your winners. A lot of people, unfortunately, are great at holding on to losing investments. They say, well, I'll just wait till it comes back. I'm not a loser until I sell. You know, all these kinds of thoughts. And they can hold the stock as it goes lower and lower and lower and eventually into bankruptcy. And somehow they're able to do that. Well, what people aren't able to do well enough, I think, is hold on to a winner. And a stock that goes up 80%, then 100%, and suddenly you're up 200% on it, and you start to get scared. And so you don't want to lose your profit. It's the fear not only of losing money, but the fear of letting your profits dissipate. And so this is the hardest thing of all. It's something that I have learned over time. And folks, I remind everybody, I'm still learning. I still sell stocks too soon sometimes. I still have a hard time really squeezing all the juice out of an investment. But when you have a process that simply can isolate relative value, relative strength, and look at 17 different criteria, well, the whole point is you stick with it until you can't. And so whether it was Johnny Unitas or whether it was Jack Nicklaus, their careers were long and extensive. If you said, well, look, Michael Jordan just hit the game-winning shot, he's not going to do that again. He just won his championship, he's not going to do that again. Well, the fact is, the right thing to do is to stay with a Michael Jordan, stay with a Tiger Woods, stay with a Jack Nicklaus until their numbers change. And I call it, they deselect themselves. They stop winning tournaments. A company's revenue growth slows down. Their margin slows down. So I never anticipate that the run is over, that they can't win anymore, they can't grow anymore. They will grow until they stop growing. And I think that the key to investing is truth. Not what you hope, not what you wish, not what other people suggest may happen or you dream may happen, but if you're actually every day able to go in and simply take the pulse of a company, and are they still healthy? Are the profits still accelerating? And you have to know what makes a great company. And this is what my 25-year study has been about, reaching out to every great investor alive. And we've had so many of them on the show already. And to listen what makes them tick. And so I believe at this point that the accumulated knowledge, the open and closing trades, the mistakes I've made, the mistakes I've even made last year, I will continue to make mistakes. But the point is I have a process that works over time. And so I can't get out of my comfort zone. I don't let people get me out of my comfort zone. And the most interesting thing, by the way, of a Fidelity Magellan, which was run by one of the great mutual fund portfolio managers in history, even Fidelity proves that most investors actually lost money in Fidelity Magellan. The reason? They would invest in it after they had a big run, and because there was no load, as soon as it started to pull back, they'd sell it. And then there'd be another big run, it goes on, and then they'd come back in after the run, and then they'd sell it on the way down, and they'd repeat and repeat and repeat. So just because even a stock, an investor, a commodity, a mutual fund has a great track record themselves, it doesn't mean that you'll have a great track record with that investment. Think of someone for a barrel of oil by chance went in at $147 and said, it's going to $250, Goldman Sachs said so, and they bought more oil at $147, and then it promptly went to $30. Those people think oil is a terrible investment. The people who bought it at 30 on the way to 147 have a whole different experience and think of it a different way. That's where kind of Vince was talking about timing. But the commodity sat there. It was there for you to short, for you to go long, for you to ignore. And each individual needs to begin to take responsibility for themselves, to work with a portfolio manager they can understand, work with someone they can trust, they could do it themselves. But the days of complaining that my broker misled me and my broker did this and I was too busy to pay attention, those are the same people that drive around without a spare tire. They're the same people that show up at the airport without proper ID. They're the same people who don't take interest in their kids' education and then complain that their teachers did a bad job on them. Folks, the show is about personal responsibility and not blaming people. It's about truth seeking. And my truth is to not try to make the most amount of money I possibly can in the world, but to put myself into a position where I can give back to society. I can help other people. And that's really what Magnet's all about. Folks, if you haven't been reading on my book, Magnet Investing, and I had the page open right when Vince called, but I show you all the books that you really need to read. I go through the history and I ask you, start reading. Let us know how I can help you here. And I'll see you next week on Magnet Investing. Have a great week ahead. Thanks for listening. Have a great holiday season. And we'll talk soon. See you next week. Bye now.
The Voice America Business Channel would like to thank you for logging on to Magnet Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Tune in each and every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern Time for another exciting hour of Magnet Investing. Right here on the Bottom Line of Business Talk, the Voice America Business Channel.